Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Vaping. That's what it's about. It's about the peg leg.
Hmm.
Is that how it's spelled? I don't know. I would assume.
Well probably because, you know, you're at sea. Just a whole bunch of dudes. You know, you're at sea, alone for a long time. You're lonely. It's peg legs.
Oh, yeah. But you wouldn't be using a strap on at that point.
No.
No, but well, they were peg legs floating around.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of bum slivers.
Sliver me timber.
There was no varnish in those days, right? So
God.
Hey, it's Footy Prime.
It's everyone. Not where you want to splinter.
I'm assuming everyone stumbled upon this mid-conversation. We shan't say where it began. Okay. Anyway, it's Friday, everyone. It's the end of another busy week for us all. Craig's here. Dubs is here. JC, Wungam, Shams. No Jimmy today. Did you guys see the story? I just kind of stumbled upon it myself, actually.
So it's a good pickup. No one would even notice that we talked in between because JC just edited that out.
Yeah,
so that was amazing. Wow. Well done.
Amazing. All right, so let me just read the story, the first part of the story. I want to get Craig's perspective on this, especially. Tigres goalkeeper Nahuel Guzman has been given an 11-game ban by the Mexican Football Federation following an investigation of inappropriate conduct by the player during Week 15's Clásico Regio match against Monterrey. Guzman, who was injured and in the stands for the match that ended 3-3, was seen using a laser pointer towards Monterrey goalkeeper Esteban Andrada and later offered his apologies on social media. So he's injured, the keeper, and he's got a laser pointer and he's directing it towards the opposing goalkeeper's eyes during the match.
Is that
just gamesmanship? Okay, so it's not right, Craig. As a goalkeeper, you're fine with that?
Well, if he was doing it to his own goalkeeper, that'd be a problem.
Yeah, be like a Toronto Raptor, right? Betting against his own team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy, though?
It is.
You're an idiot. You're going to be found out.
That Mexican league, man, it's crazy. All the shenanigans we saw in CONCACAF, it happens in the Mexican league, like between the teams. Everything
Weekly.
From sticking needles in the arms and things like that.
Needles in the arms?
Yeah, they would have a little pin in their hand and they would literally stick it in the back of your body and your back or your arm or something like that. And then they would drop
really?
It off the ground. You would never find it.
You're joking me.
No. Jorge Campos was telling me all about the shithousery that goes on.
Needles. Who are these people, these Neanderthals? That's ridiculous. That can't still happen.
I know. Different level.
Yeah. Wait, where are you storing that before you want to use it is what I want to know.
Back to the peg
putting
legs.
That in your waistband or inside your sliders, right?
And then now there's needles all around the pitch, lying like in the grass. You could prick yourself quite easily, couldn't you?
Well, again, that's on the regular.
What a bunch of pricks. What's like the worst? This is a good question, and maybe I should give you more time to think about it. What is the worst example of sportsmanship you've ever seen, Dubs, on the pitch? And do you hate the word sportsmanship because it's sexist?
Why is because sportsmanship? I'm not gonna. Should be I don't sports say personship. Womankind. I'm okay with mankind.
You are okay. You're just letting the people down, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was the worst you've seen. Worst example. Can you think of anything?
We all just want to be part of her story. I'm just kidding. I don't say that. No, I can't. I can't think of it. I mean, you know, the women's game for the
US
longest.
Hockey. Did you hear about that? Sorry to interrupt. But didn't the women's US
interruption.
US women's hockey team. No, but it was bad.
Haley Wickenheiser with the.
No, the U.S. just recently, they walked away before the medal ceremony was done, the U.S. women's team.
Yeah, but you know what? I think I said the same thing, and I was watching that game with GP and the kids, and I think that was just part of protocol.
Oh, okay.
I really do. Because the cameras were on them, and they just filed out, you know, of the arena back to the locker room. Like, it wasn't, I don't think it was a big statement.
So that wasn't worth the interruption?
Not really.
You can cut that out too, JC.
I was just going to, I don't even really have a whole lot to say on it. I was going to say that the women's game, I've talked about us having coaches at the national team level who were disgusted in a way at our lack of cynicism, that we were honest to a fault, you know, that we should have been employing more shithousery in order to give ourselves an advantage. So, you know, there's all the dark art stuff that's happening, but I think that falls within the confines of the game. You're not really able to spot it blatantly. So, you know, there's some things, like even playing W League, where I would like bark at somebody. I remember playing against Kelly Parker. She played for Ottawa Fury, and she just looked at me, stared me down, and walked past me and just straight armed me. And like, I lost my breath. She hit me so hard, like in the shoulder, and it was so unexpected. And she did it. She knew the referee had just turned around, and I couldn't believe it. I was just dumbfounded. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, but people just didn't really operate that way. Cause like I said, we were honest to a fault and really kind of played by the rules, except for on, you know, set pieces and things like that, or going through a tackle where you're going to try to absolutely get every single piece of the person that you were tackling, because that was sort of within the confines of the game, but nothing that was really blatant, or, you know, you weren't a human pincushion. Like, nothing was like that was happening.
So was Kelly Parker a pioneer?
In a way. Yeah. She played on the edge. She was a fabulous player as well. She played with the national team for a little bit, kind of was in and out. And then played a little bit more with Carolina. And I think she was on the 2012 bronze medal winning team with John Herdman.
Mm, really?
Yeah, really great player.
I like her already. Stiff arm Dubs for no reason at all. Starting.
Yeah, she was awful to play against. And that's what you want to be, right? You want to be that type of player that is uber talented, but is also just a menace on the field.
Yeah, yeah. For
the most part, Dubs, I mean, the women's game is still pretty honest, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think we'll see it start coming in a little bit, the shithousery, but for the most part, it's still a very honest game.
Craig, I also wondered about that when you guys played in CONCACAF, and obviously you faced the dark arts, and we'd be watching the games and just screaming at the opponents. And was it ever discussed in the room, listen, guys, we have to kind of lower ourselves to their level if we're going to get through this match? You see it now with Canada, right? You see far more shithousery now than ever before in CONCACAF. But when you played, was it a conversation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely it was. I mean, just for an example, anything in the Gold Cup, with Carlo Corazine and our strikers, Paul Pescusolito, it was like, you get in the box, you get touched, you get your ass on the ground. Hit the deck. Give the referee a decision. Make him make a decision. And more times than not, they'll give it. Sadly,
that's still out of character, though, right? for those guys? Is that a character? Was it difficult?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Because the danger there is it's pulling you out of your own performance because you're being asked to do something that's unnatural. So you're not in the right headspace in order to compete properly, to sort of reach your or maximize your potential because you're distracted.
That's right. Like, and in Carlo playing in lower divisions in England, there was none of that going on, no diving or anything like that. So there was your first thought in your head when you're going into the box with the ball is not going down. But that's not the case with a lot of footballing cultures.
No, just talking about the how unnatural and it takes away from your game. You know, it just again reminds me of the pegging conversation that Wonga brought up to start the show today. You know,
thank you. You're welcome.
hey, coefficients. Who wants to talk about coefficients? Anyone?
What a week for this team in Europe.
So boring. But I like the arrogance of English football, though, that for pretty much the entire season, it's been, there'll be five spots in the Champions League for English teams this year. Oh, yeah, gonna win the coefficient race. And then City blow it, and Liverpool blow it, and Arsenal blow it. And who else blow it? Oh, well, West Ham blew it. West Ham blew it yesterday. Got Villa flying the flag now for the greatest league in the world. I think it's funny. Now it's Italy and Germany saying, oh, thank you very much. We'll take those points. It's crazy, isn't it? What a week for English football, Craig.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, Man City played a good game. I mean, there's no question about it. They rope-a-doped Real Madrid for long periods of time, but Real Madrid found a way to win. Liverpool, they were out of it in the first leg, obviously, to losing 3-0 at home to Atlanta. West Ham losing 2-0 to Leverkusen away, but really pushed them. It was a fantastic first half by West Ham. It should have probably been up by more than one. Closed the gap. Second half, it was a little bit different, but pretty proud of that team. They've done really, really well over the last few years, and David Moyes should get a lot of credit, but it's not really happening for him.
He won't.
And Arsenal, well, a little bit disappointing, but obviously up against a good side, Bayern Munich. Top class.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's funny, Bayern Munich, how so average domestically by their standards, but they're still Bayern Munich. They're in the semi-finals of the Champions League. They could still win this thing. Harry Kane could lift the trophy. You never know. But, probably not going to happen, though. No, you're right. So the semi-final matchups, I mean, they're interesting, right? You have Dortmund against PSG, and then you have, obviously, Bayern and Real Madrid just like salivating at the prospect. They're going to say that semi's the final, right? Which is probably no respect to PSG or Dortmund. But it's interesting, isn't it? This PSG team, there's something about them this year. I don't know what it is. It's a gut kind of feeling that they're not, you know, swayed by pure star power. They got the stars. Obviously, Mbappe's there. We know that. But it's not like recent years. They're almost, dare I say it, they're almost likable. Is that fair to say about PSG compared to the Neymar era?
Yes. PSG? Any team that is now sans Neymar is infinitely more likable.
Just by deduction, subtraction, right?
Yes. No, but I agree. I agree watching that match the other day, and sure they were a man up. But I mean, you like to wax lyrical about Mbappe, and I mean, there's just something about him. He's just electric every time he's on the ball, and even that penalty that he struck, he just does it emphatically. Like there's no doubt that he's going to score. Dembele, like they looked very, very good. And then sure, like I said, they were up a man, but they still had to do it. And they had to come down because they were down on aggregate. I like them too. Should be interesting. But I want to go back to what you're talking about, you know, these Premier League teams out. And Liverpool has just got to be kicking themselves because, you know, you come up against a team of miscreants from Atlanta, Georgia. You expect them to be able to get it done.
sorry. Nice job again, though, with the miscreants.
Thank you. There.
But yes, yep. I know.
Thanks very much.
Yep. And how long were you sitting on the whole Atlanta line?
3 minutes.
No, oh, my God. She's had that. She's been workshopping that fucking bit for about 3 months.
No, it wasn't until Forrest said Atlanta, and I was like, oh, imagine they lost to just like an all-star team from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Atlanta's a good team in MLS, right?
They are.
Yeah. Great fans, great fan support before you start dismissing them.
Story franchise.
Atalanta will probably beat them, I think. In a one-off.
Atlanta, they have a history in the game going back to the North American Soccer League called the Atlanta Chiefs. And if you look at the Atlanta Chiefs logo, I think they're only around for a couple of seasons. They are the same logo as the Kaiser Chiefs in South Africa.
What's that one?
Really?
It sounds offensive, but can you describe it?
What, the logo?
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar.
Well, it's kind of a
Ruby
drawing.
Nice, well done.
We'll pull it up. But it was because Kaiser Motang, who played for South Africa and was from South Africa, had a lot to do with the breakup of apartheid too. Because I talked to him and Jomo Somo as well, who played for Toronto Blizzard, another South African black man that had a lot to do with the moving of information from Soweto out of Soweto, because the white guards were protecting that area and weren't letting any information in and out. Well, the football players could go in and out and they wouldn't check their bags. So they would then take information back over to Europe. Usually, I think it was in Poland, and information was slid through that. So there's a lot of footballing angles to the apartheid situation.
Well, we all know that Dubs lines up on the side of apartheid. So she did find it offensive.
Can we cut that out? Holy shit. It's a low blow.
Quite offensive, Craig. Would line up against apartheid. I'm surprised that you don't know where Dubs lines up here.
If that's what you latch on to, and I just wanted to revisit Jomo Somo. I thought that was the coolest name I'd ever heard.
Good name.
Honestly, yeah. that crazy little, that might be the most interesting thing I've ever heard in this podcast.
Me too. Yeah, I agree.
Honestly. Genuinely true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we went to South Africa a few times in the early 2000s for charities, and we met with Jomo Somo, and he was telling us all these stories about what they were doing and how him and Kaiser Motang were filing information out of Soweto to try to help the cause. Big part of it. Big part of it. So Kaiser played for Atlanta, and then when he started the Chiefs, who are arguably the biggest team in South Africa, he took that logo from Atlanta Chiefs, who were only around for a couple years.
Wow.
And a great band was born.
And Craig also being so humble, he was the ambassador of a couple of charities, and he never talks about it, but yeah.
He did good things once upon a time.
He did.
Yeah, he was a good person. Way back when.
Yeah. Wasn't so self-involved.
What year did that have been for involved. In the NASL for the Atlanta Chiefs?
In the 70s. I'll have to check it out. JC, can you check that out?
And is there continuity, say, from that NASL franchise to Atlanta United today in MLS?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I don't even think most people in Atlanta probably even know that.
Very cool story, though.
Mm-hmm.
You were part of, wasn't it SOS, wasn't it? The children's charity, Craig.
Was SOS Children's Villages, yeah.
Can I just point something out here? I went to look that up. ANSL is very close to the spelling of another word. So when you type in ANSL Atlanta, different things come up.
Oh, really?
Well, the pegging, this is a full 360 moment because our pegging conversation comes back again.
Yes, right? It's very, very pegging. Sorry.
Can we go back to the Mbappe thing quickly? Can we revisit that conversation we had several months ago now, to much consternation, where I said that I would rather have Kylian Mbappe on my team than Erling Haaland? Let's go around the room now. Right now, who would you rather have in your team? Kylian Mbappe or Erling Haaland? Dubs, it's
Cole
with
Palmer.
You,
Cole Palmer, I'm throwing that for fun.
Dubs?
No, I hate that I'm going to do this, that I'm going to be on the wrong end of I told you so from Sharms, but I think it's Mbappe.
That's a good segment. I told you so with Sharms. Yeah, I love that.
It's true. Yeah. Okay. Did I tell you guys the story turning on Champions League after I picked up the twins from school on Wednesday, came back, turned it on, and the first figure that we see fill the screen is the gigantic Norwegian striker for Man City. I was like, Evie, who's that? She says, easy, way overconfident, Tom Holland. It's like, close. Erling Haaland.
She got the second name right, though.
Yeah, sounded like it.
Craig, let me ask you, would you rather have Mbappe or Haaland right now playing for your team?
Right now, Mbappe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This segment's going quite well for you, Sharms.
It's going pretty well. Pretty well. I'm getting a lot of Larry David in here as well.
So there's the Kaiser Chiefs in the yellow, and there's the Atlanta Chiefs next to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, look at that. I honestly had no idea. Great story. All right. Let's get to all. Oh, by the way, Rhonda Brownlee, supporters member, of course, one of our loyal listeners, she did dig out Jimmy's two goals against Austria.
Wow.
And
impressive.
You know, Hardy spoke about them well and described them. And tell you what, our boy Jimmy, he did have a left peg.
Yeah, that's right.
He had a left peg on him. Maybe. Who knows? But he definitely had a left peg on him. Beautiful goal, the first one. Second one, you're right, came off an arse. It's still a nice goal. But yeah, thank you, Rhonda, for that. It's on our social media channels, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think we reposted it. So check it out, yeah.
But Hardy's description of it, I think he used howitzer to describe it.
Mm.
And it was a screamer. Kind of felt bad for him for the second one.
Howitzer and a screamer.
Yeah, what's bigger, a howitzer or a screamer? And that's, well, yeah. Once again, circle back into the pegging conversation.
they're all screamers. If you ain't screaming, it's not a pegging.
You're using the wrong howitzer.
Gave the mesh a good rogering.
Yeah. I'd be screaming.
So I'm going to say quadrino screamer. No, screamer or howitzer. What is the when you think of a driven shot with great power? I think howitzer is bigger than a screamer. I think howitzer. I mean, you don't get bigger than a howitzer, do you?
I don't feel like that's not part of my footballing vernacular, though. I don't think I can pull off describing something as a howitzer. You have to be of a certain era or a certain kind of person and like use it regularly in order to drop it. Like if I'm calling the game tomorrow for CF Montreal, I'm doing color instead of doing sideline. Like if I were to say that, it would sound disingenuous. Do you know what I mean?
It's like when Canadians use the term gaffer.
Oh my gosh, Sharm, I'm so happy like you brought it up. Because on one of my Friday morning segments on TSN 690, JP usually listens, and if he's at home, he'll be like, oh, yeah, good hit. And he came in one day, and he's like, do not ever use gaffer. You sound ridiculous. And I was like, I don't try to do it. I didn't intend to use it, but it just came out. And I blame you guys. I blame you. And he's like, stop it. Don't do it. I'm like, yeah,
it sounds weird. It does sound weird, doesn't it? Although when Craig says it, it sounds fine, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, but he spent so much time. Or Jimmy, I feel like they can do it, whereas I can't. It sounds.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound.
But the three of you have the same accent.
It was odd for me calling them boss and gaffer, but a lot of the times that was what they were called. Hey, boss.
Mm-hmm. I also like the fact that I'm cozying up to JP. I think he's the better half. In that relationship with Walsh.
You're just happy that right? I'm telling stories where I'm criticized. They're none of the best. Dude, you're like, so much yes. Fun. Also, it's apartheid. So
yes.
Yay, apartheid. I'm all
for it. Wait till she pulls a late drop on.
Oh, what?
What's that?
Wait till she pulls out the strap on.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
It's Wednesday.
JP's going to get the howitzer.
A racist dominatrix.
Oh my God.
Our dubs.
It's a real howitzer.
Don't pull out the howitzer, please. God, don't worry. It's just a screamer today.
Yeah. Don't worry. Oh, howitzers are inaccurate, too. They're not an accurate gun.
Oh,
are they more like, is it like a mortar type thing? A howitzer?
Yeah. No, it's a gun, but it's giant. It's a giant gun.
But it's not accurate like a cruise missile.
Okay. Right. Has got laser sights. They just kind of guess the trajectory, and it's like a First World War jobby.
Please don't say jobby.
Yeah. They still have that.
Hey, I'm reading right now. I just started reading World of Worlds right? Which was written in 1897, I think. It's amazing. It's freaking absolutely brilliant. But all the terminology they used back in that day is just interesting how they saw the potential, the future, right? It's just so well done. Anyway.
That's War of the Worlds?
But yeah. I'm pretty sure they used the term howitzer in it.
Writer H.G. Wells? I don't remember.
Yeah, H.G. Wells.
Okay.
Oh. It's the original, the OG of science fiction.
Yeah, I remember.
It's about the Martians coming down to... And actually, they actually read it, I think, in 1938 or something. They read it on British radio.
Orson Welles.
H.G. Wells.
He's the one who did it, and they thought it was real because he did the radio drama back in the day, and everyone believed it was real, and they started freaking out.
That's right. They thought it was real. Yeah. They thought the Martians were actually invading.
Yeah.
How stupid were people back then, eh?
Speaking of stupid, is Orson Welles related to H.G. Wells?
I was going to ask the same thing. Yeah.
I don't think so. They spell their name differently.
One's
L-L-E-S, and the other is just S.
And what about former Blue Jays pitcher David Wells?
They are related.
Related. Oh, they are.
Yeah. Okay. And he actually took a DeLorean to go back to the future and hung out to get his parents to have sex, is basically what he did.
Mm. Oh, did he?
Yeah, and he made out with his mom.
That's right. He made out with his mom. That's right.
That was David Wells.
Again,
Blue Jays pitcher.
Allegedly.
Speaking of allegedly, you did a very good job yesterday hosting MLS Box to Box.
That's a little alleged. That's alleged. That was Steve Chang, by the way.
Because you threw that around when Dole, I think, was talking about Dante Van Zier for New York Red Bull.
That's right.
And a racial slur that he'd used last year. And you're like, just say allegedly. You can say whatever you want, Dolly.
That's right. That's right. like Thomas is allegedly a supporter of apartheid.
Stop it.
That's not allegedly.
That's a damn
it's
fact.
It's in a resume. It's in a resume.
I haven't listened to the show yet. It was good.
Thank you, Dubs, by the way.
It's just you, Craig, and Dolly, right? And
you know what? We, at the last minute, our friend Dubs said, Wonger, I'm so sorry. I'm working on UEFA stuff, and can you guys handle it? And Craig, of course, Craig is always a professional. No problem, Dubs. We can handle it. I'm like, motherfucker.
I know. I think you were pissed because it was like, Daniel is typing. Daniel is typing. No message. And then Forrest is like, no problem, Dubs. You got it. I'm like, thanks, Forrest. Through my phone. And
No. I had forgot to send it. It literally said no problem.
Sure, Wonger.
Yes. But yes, it went better. I texted Craig after and I go, dude, that went better than I thought it would. So, hey, I've stepped up once or twice. I am now... If you and Sherms are 1A and 1B, I am 4F. So I'd like to be the 16th host of Footy Prime next time.
You're 1H, 1 Howitzer.
Listen, Wonger, one thing you can do, Wonger, is talk, right? That's the one thing you can do. So you can host, no problem at all. Dubs, though, in the future, though, if you wouldn't mind giving a little bit longer, a better time for these guys to prepare.
Yeah,
the last minute just wasn't good enough, Dubs. Okay.
Yeah.
It's unprofessional.
Sorry. I let the side down. I'm sorry, Sherms.
All right. Should we get to some Flash and Four?
The hottest takes on the hottest questions from the hottest team in sports. This is the
Flash and Four. Four questions. It's six of us. That's why they call it
Flash and Four. Footy Prime presents the
Flash and Four.
Sorry, not tonight, honey.
Right in the mummy daddy?
But the hottest takes
on the hottest...
Oh, it's happening again. Flash and Four doesn't happen on a loop.
The screamer never quits. All right.
Is that your Scottish?
It was actually. I don't know why it was Scottish. Oh, because of the mummy and daddy button. That's why.
Oh, okay. The mummy and daddy button.
Right, and the mummy daddy button.
Yeah, right. yada. All right. So the Flash and Four. Okay, we've got the supporters first. Should we start with that? Right? Supporters question. I like this one, actually. So the supporter club's very own Doug Simonite. Dougie Sims, recently retired, continues to play hockey and footy on the regular.
And he is an athlete, Dougie.
He's on a month-long ski vacation.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike our boy Dave Starkey, who couldn't ski right now because he has no knees.
Have you seen his knees?
Oh my God, the scars are horrendous.
You look great, though. You can see the difference between the first one and the second one, right? Like, that's where he's headed. It's good.
Mm. Yeah. It's disgusting. Sorry, Starkey.
Knee replacement.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Dougie Sims. He's retired recently. When was a time you took things too far or pushed yourself way too hard on the pitch or in life or on the dance floor? Now, an automatic 15 points for Wonga here. No need to answer. Fair enough. So, yeah, when was the last time you took things just too far or pushed yourself way too hard on the pitch or in life? Who should we start with? JC, let's start with you.
I'm going to hearken. Well, I'll lose points, but I'm going to hearken back to my 9 hours of Swiss Chalet talking when I projectiled water and carrots all over the bathroom in my VO session. That's all I got. That's literally the hardest I can. Although, no, that's about it. No, that's
is that a pegging
it.
Story? No.
Well, I tell you, the one night on the corner, I was about $1,600 short for my pimp. So I knew I really had to get the job done. So I got down on my knees and I called all comers. Mm-hmm, and I just got it done. Both hands, face, knees, feet.
Oh, no. No, look
at by the end of it, I was still 50 cents short and I got a beating.
Got a beating. Well, that's got to be 10 points, isn't it? That's got to be 10 points. I mean, just yeah, good for you. Great work ethic. It's amazing what you do when you're desperate, isn't it, JC?
10 points for JC.
All right.
Taking on all comers.
Craig. Not just newcomers.
Newcomers, all comers, just comers.
Just comers. Comers one, comers all.
Comers and gummers.
Get them coming, get them going.
You're one to ask. You are 1F of all comer for a comer.
this might have an expletive, might have an adult content attached to it, perhaps.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Craig, time that you went, you pushed yourself just too hard.
Went too far?
Mm.
Mm. I'd say against Leicester. I think I've told a story before when there was a challenge on me by one of the Leicester players. Might have been Taggart. I can't remember exactly. It might have been. Ended up on the ground in a ruckus and all the players are piling in the net. And I was on the ground and I reached up with my glove and grabbed his lunch kit. And I had his meat and two veg in my glove. And it was, I tell you what, a goalkeeper's glove is perfect. I had everything in my hand and the referee couldn't see it. I was on the bottom of a ruckus and he went absolutely mental. It was like a bull coming out of fucking gates.
Okay, so that's going too far. But what about going too hard, like when you just exhausted yourself? I mean, I'm not sure how long you held it for.
That happened afterwards.
Yeah, I held it probably a little too long.
So you started cramping? Your hand was cramping?
It was a good lunch, kid. He was solid there. He was packing.
More than a handful?
It was just, yeah. Oh, one of his flask.
Taggart, though, that's one of these names where I'm not surprised to hear that he was a dick, right? Like that name just seems to fit, doesn't it? Taggart.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Irish.
That was been one of the names, Irish. Beverly Hills Cop.
There was a great English cop TV show called Taggart with this Glaswegian. Right. Remember him? He had a nasty looking face. He's a tough, I think, Glaswegian cop with some demons and lots to prove. Yeah. It was great.
I'm going to give that an 8. I'm giving that an 8, Craig, because we've heard the story before, but it would have won. It would have won if you changed it up a little bit. Like if you had him in the bum with a strap on. Yeah.
Stick my finger up his bum as well.
Well, you know, colonoscopy is all
the
part
old
of the game.
Rusty trombone type stuff.
Oh, jeez. I love the rusty trombone. So
I didn't peg Craig or as being one of those guys.
No, that's an 8 for Craig. It's an 8.
Jeez. That's an 8. Right. For
who's next? who's next? Wonga.
No, you said I got a 15.
Oh, that's right. You got 15. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm just taking the 15 and running and don't
leave we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear wellness.
Okay, I've got a quick one.
About 4 years ago. The question, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, 4 years ago, my family goes to a resort and we're playing beach football, just touch football. And I, of course, I think that I'm still the fastest guy at 50 something. And what do I do on the second day at the beach is I pull a hamstring really badly. So I stop. Everyone's like, what's going on? I go, because I tried to go around one of our friends and I didn't make it. And so the next day we go, I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I took a couple of Tylenol and ibuprofen. The next day we decide to go skin diving off a boat and we went whale watching. It was fantastic. Well, I don't realize that
skin diving.
I can't swim with James the Bond? With the snorkel, whatever it's called. What's that called? Snorkel. Snorkel.
Yeah.
So I go snorkeling, which is within your skin, and I almost drown. I can't kick, so I'm floating, and I'm like, I realized I am now just an old person who hurt themselves, can't bounce back, and that is my pushed it too far story. Plus, I think I was drunk when I almost drowned. So all three of those things lined up. Okay. Thank you very much.
That's
15.
Bad. That's not bad. Yeah, 15 points. Okay. 15. Thank you for being.
You think he maintained the 15 point threshold with the story?
Sorry myself.
I know.
I think that he didn't take us down a path that we didn't want to go. We give him 15 points. Give him
just for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he talked about his snorkel skin.
don't encourage him.
I know.
Dubs, when did you push yourself too far or too hard or whatever?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a better story, but when I was first in CJEP, I played basketball and soccer, and I was in science, and I was like, I can do it all. And then probably mid-October or maybe November, which was past the drop date for courses where you can just get rid of them and not take a shitty grade, I probably had a little bit of a breakdown. I did have a little bit of a breakdown where I was like, I can't do this anymore, because I was at school every single day, late for practice, or like late practicing either basketball or soccer. I was still training with the CNHP, which was like the National Training Center. I had no time to do anything and I was completely overwhelmed. And so I sat down with my parents, and having to like admit that I couldn't do it was, I mean, I felt so defeated. And I felt like so lesser than, and I just felt like I'd let everybody down. But it was the best thing ever. And I ended up I had like a 20 and a 10 on my transcript and in chemistry and I think advanced math or something. But it ended up, it didn't matter. And it was like a weight had lifted and it was the best thing ever. But I reached a point where I pushed myself. I thought I could do it. And it was way too far.
But at least you acknowledged that and you realized it before it was too late.
But they don't tell you that as a student athlete. They never tell you any of that stuff where, hey, you might want to lower the amount of courses you take. Mm-hmm. You may, you know, like that's not one of those conversations. It's kind of like it reminds me of when these amazing athletes are signed contracts as professionals. They never tell them, hey, this is how you should manage money. It's only starting now, 20 years after huge salaries. But for student athletes, you need to understand that it's not easy to manage all of these things. And for someone who's playing two sports and in science, I mean, I did arts, so that literally just lowers me down. Like Sharms was doing visual at Ryerson Rye High at the time.
And no,
so it's not hard. But they don't tell you that, right? They never say, hey, Dubs, you may want to lower your expectation on this. Not that it's a bad thing, just you're going to be too busy. You don't have the time.
Yeah.
Were you there in the scholarship, Dubs?
No, because that was CJEP. So in Quebec, you go to grade 11, graduate from high school, and then you have a two-year program. And sometimes, like JP did a year at CJEP, and then he went to Princeton. Like there's varying ways that you can do it, but it's kind of this in-between schooling where you're more independent. It's more like university. But it's like a little bit of a stepping stone between high school and university.
It's like sixth form college in England, I think they call it. These used to 30 years ago. God knows what it's called.
It was a good lesson to learn. Like I saw it as a blight. I was embarrassed of it, but it was a good lesson to learn kind of at 17 so that I was in a better position later on to manage all of that.
Good answer.
I like that. Humility.
A lesson to be taught.
Catharsism, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For
I'm
going to
give that a 4. I'm giving it a 4.
So harsh.
No one should learn anything on this podcast.
No, that's true. If you leave this podcast feeling better, well, obviously better about yourself, obviously, right? But if we've bettered you, then we're not doing our job, right? Don't listen to us for anything. Don't give lessons, Dubs. Insight like that.
Sorry?
Jesus.
Don't evolve. Don't be something better.
That's good. That's good. Definitely worth the 4 points. So that's a good answer.
Charms, it's yours.
Now is the answer. I have bitten off way more than I can chew. I haven't got time for my life right now. I have an issue. I have a real problem in life. I can't say no, be it pegging or be it work. I can't say no. Right. So I've got so much shit going on right now that I can only do like an average job on each thing rather than excel at anything, you know, because I'm buying off way too much, whether it's fucking pies or Tony or being a dad or doing Room 442 or writing a column or doing this fucking podcast 7 times a week. Right. It's killing me. I'm overwhelmed. My brain isn't working the way it should now because things like Keurig coffee pods, I forget about, still forgetting about them. Even the little things I can't prioritize because my mind is everywhere going crazy and my brain is going to explode. I'm an average person. My brain is a very average brain and I've bitten off way too much than I can chew.
You're just fishing for compliments. No, I'm not. More than you can chew, but you are whip smart and so clever. Witty.
Well, I am witty. I'll give you that much.
Do you leave the toilet seat up right now? Have you forgot? Are you now leaving the toilet seat up after being
never
trained?
Never done that. That's one thing I take great pride in making sure that seat is down.
It's also because you always pee sitting down, right? You're that guy.
I'm not. No, they're weird. Who does that? I mean, Christ, you'd get a cold cock anyway, wouldn't you? Dropping in the water.
Cold cock.
Easy there, John Holmes.
Thank you, Craig, for getting that one.
I like that answer. No, I like that you. There's some revelations. You confirm your own humility. I appreciate that. I'm going to give that. If Dubs is a 4, then you get an 11.
Oh, thank you. Nice. Is it better, though, being a jack of all trades or a master of one as opposed to...
Remember the end of that line is, it depends. Being a generalist is a lot more interesting for us because then we wouldn't have you. If you were just this soccer guy, you need, in our business right now, you need to be entrepreneurial. You need to step outside your boundaries of what's comfortable. I know for Dubs, she's killing it in broadcast, but you know, we even talked about it one time. Dubs was like, you know, I'm doing all these things for the first time. I go, but you're great at them, you know? And I always tell her, just keep doing it. And I tell my kids, they ask me, how do you have confidence, Dad? And I go, I don't. I don't know what I'm doing. It's me doing it that gives me confidence. So that first time you do something, I'm scared just like everybody else. And I said, I'm not afraid to fail. And I can't say I've always been that way. You know, there's always times that you're afraid to fail. But once you're not afraid, you make a mistake, you realize that's not the only thing. I mean, look at our podcast. It's evolved, right? And we've made mistakes, but I think we keep getting better. We keep honing it. And for Dubs, she's killing it on so many levels. Charms, you are too. Me and JC and Craig, we're not. We've evolved to the top level.
No, everybody is. Everybody's getting better and we keep evolving together, right?
I will say that Wonga, that was a little bit too much wisdom. So -5 points for you.
All right. Okay. I'm back to 10.
Wes, and I feel like he was just making up for the fact that he gave me a 4.
I think so.
You
too.
Win. Have you won lately? You haven't won in a while, eh?
I have not. No.
Okay. I've never won.
I mean, I don't know. I don't I've keep track of such things.
No. Oh, yeah. What have I got? Turn the camera around, Dubs. Four There's a freaking ago. Whiteboard. There's a whiteboard.
Whiteboard with a strap on right beside, hanging beside it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yep. No, but I agree, Sharms. I feel you on that answer. Very, very astute, I think. And insightful take on our current situation, because it's great. It's wonderful. And Forrest was just talking about all the great content that we're pushing out. But I kind of extricated myself from that podcast yesterday. And it was such a relief because I had so much shit to do for this UEFA course. And it wasn't a tremendous amount of writing, but I'm so out of the groove of that and that space of writing papers and doing research that I'm like, I know what I want to write, but I'm like, oh, maybe I missed this research paper. Maybe I missed this report that UEFA put out. And so I'm spending hours researching to write like 1,000 words. And anyway, it's all done. So I'm very happy about it.
I get it 100%, Dubs. It's so difficult, right? Because that being said, like doing a million different things, like trying to revenue streams here, there, and everywhere. I do prefer it than having that one answer to that one God. And my God, if they don't pay me, then I'm fucked. You know, I'd rather make less from lots of people than less from one person, if you get my point there, right? Answering to the corporate master. Not that I'm not available. but I like doing lots of stuff. I like staying busy, because if I don't get busy, their whole brain starts doing stupid things. So that's kind of part of the motivation too. Anyway, all right, who's up next? That was good. Good round, that was. Great question, supporters.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right, Craig, you're up. You got a question.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You guys saw the interview with Jude Bellingham after the Champions League game. 20-year-old kid. Fantastic player, as we know, playing away, you know, in Spain, spoke incredibly well, like just really articulate and knowledgeable and comfortable. And it really surprised me as a 20-year-old. And I was just thinking, when was the first time you guys were on camera and were you comfortable? What age were you? And did you suck? Dubs.
Oh, my.
Great question.
Yeah, question, wonderful question. I didn't give that any thought. I mean, there was so much coverage of all of the women's soccer that I was involved in early on. So I got many chances to hone my craft. But no, I think in the women's game, because there wasn't a professional component, you were a student athlete, which is kind of circling me back to my previous answer. You were measured. You were thoughtful. You didn't take the occasion for granted. So I think a lot of us on the national team, or when I played pro, were very comfortable in that situation, whether you were in front of a mic and there was a TV camera rolling or it was just for print. Because you saw it as an opportunity to get a platform to talk about your game and to talk about your team. And so we didn't have media training, but we usually had lots of education to kind of back you up, which didn't necessarily make you a good speaker or comfortable in that situation, but you always had a voice. And I think in the women's game and in fledgling early on, still is in some regard, you didn't take that for granted.
Hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. 10.
Didn't really answer the question.
Yeah, I said I was good, and many of my counterparts were also good.
That's not the question. The question was, when was your first time you were interviewed? Like, when was the first time, too?
No, but she mentioned it was tough to say because there's so many interviews back in those
days. I know, but that's it. You can't. Anyways, I don't think she answered it.
How about you answer it?
I'll answer it. Nice. Mid-70s. I was 7 years old, and they introduced block parents to a generation of kids who now had a house to go to that someone said, yeah, I'll take in that stray kid if they're being roughed up, not realizing it was all the pedos who wanted to be block parents. So CBC comes to my school, and my teacher says, you should interview this kid. And I was on national television being interviewed about whether or not I would use block parents. And I thought block parents was kind of the creepiest, weirdest thing. Run away from bullies. You don't run into someone else's house. You remember what block parents was? It was like a safety thing, and they put it in the window.
Yeah, the red and white sign.
The red and white sign. So if you're being bullied. But I'm like, isn't that the perfect way for some predator? Some Jimmy Savile motherfucker.
So just cynical.
I'd love to be a block parent. Just send the kids over to me, is what I was thinking. So I said,
I don't
that.
Even need the puppy dogs anymore, or the kittens.
Well, exactly. I said that on national TV. I just kind of said, I guess it's a good idea. I don't think I'd use it ever. And my whole family just went, wow, you're pretty honest. But I was on CBC national TV for the interview and the introduction of block parents.
How old
I gave
were
it
you?
A wow. thumbs down. I was 7 or 8. I was grade 1 or 2.
Yeah. That must be out there somewhere, right? That must be out there somewhere.
Yeah, on like SVHS or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing.
3/4-inch tape. Yeah. And I was average at best as a 7-year-old.
Yeah, but at 7, that's pretty impressive.
Wow.
9.5.
Thank you. Dub's got a 10, though. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Me?
You're a salty, salty man today, Warner.
Leave me hanging the... Leave me under the bus yesterday, 5 minutes before. That's what you get.
The first time I was on TV, I think, was doing Sports World, that old show, in like 2000, 1999, maybe. And I was not good. I was shit. My dad's good on tape somewhere. And I was so green. But they stuck with me. But my first interview was radio interview. On remember the International Sports Report on The Fan? Yeah. With Lindsay O'Connor and Peter... oh my God, Peter Irvin. Great guys. They're kind of some of the OGs of international sports coverage here in Canada. And I met them at some rugby event, and they invited me on the show. And I was so prepared. I prepared for fucking hours for this show, like everything. And I was on there for about 5 minutes, didn't touch one single thing I'd researched. And if you listen to that show, it's very conversational, right, with those guys. And I remember being so nervous. So that was probably the first time. The worst time, though, this is a true story. So it was quite early on as well. I was doing a phone interview, and I was just driven. I was with Tony, and we just got back from the mall. I was in her car still. And I realized, oh, fuck, this interview. For some reason, I just blanked. So I'll stay in the car while I do this interview. So she left the car and unloaded the groceries, but she took the keys with her. And I'm in the car, right? And I open the door mid-interview, and the alarm starts going off in the car. And then the neighbor is looking over his fence, and I'm like panicking in this car. He thinks I've stolen the car to give me these dirty, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm like running away from the car with it going off and getting these daggers from the neighbors and trying to do this interview at the same time. And I thought, there's my career. It's done. Never again. It was humiliating, to say the very least. So that was early on.
Nice.
But suffice to say, I was shit to start with. Some things don't change. But yeah.
I bet you weren't.
Can I add to mine?
Little heart. Can you add to yours?
Yeah. I don't want to improve it. But Wonger gave me a hard time because he said I didn't answer the question. And Sharm's talking about the radio interview made me think. And also, Wonger, the age that you were for your CBC interviews. When I was probably the same age, 7 or 8. We used to climb into, my dad used to either be in the night shift or be out of the house like at 5 a.m. So before school, we would all climb into my mom and dad's bed with my mom before we would get up, and we'd listen to like a local news station. And they had like this kind of joke segment that was right before 7 a.m. And so one day I built up the courage, and I was so nervous to call in, and I managed to get there, and I was like third in line. And this is the joke that I told, and I was so nervous, and I managed to deliver it. And this is the joke that I told on CJAD radio in Montreal. Why did the chicken cross the park?
Why?
To get to the other slide.
Oh,
and I was so proud, and I was so worried about my delivery. And that same kind of nervous energy I still take with me a little bit before everything that I do, but it's but it's just that much smaller now.
That's a better answer, Doug.
That's a good answer. I like that.
Yeah, that's so much better. Thoughtful. Also, I'm giving you more points.
It's a very good joke, more points. Too. I like that joke.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm giving you a 9 for your first answer.
JC, what about you, buddy?
Well, I think your original question was, what was the first time?
You're up again. I gave you more. Sorry, JC.
That's okay. I think you said, what was the first time you were on camera and did you suck? Was that the question?
Yeah.
Well, when I was 18, I just first moved to Toronto. And I answered an ad in the back of Now magazine. And it was for Performers Wanted. I thought, oh, wow, I'm a performer at heart. I was a DJ. So I went to this house in at Young and Shepherd. And in the basement, they had a little camera set up. And let me tell you, I sucked. Boy, did I suck. But, you know, I made $40. And so that was a great, that was my first, but then my second, okay, that's kind of half true. That's half true, actually. I did go to a porn audition when I first moved to Toronto. The second, but here's the real first time I was actually. Yeah, no. I went to a porn audition when I was 20 when I moved to Toronto, and I went to a porn audition.
Porn? Did you know it was a porn audition?
Yes, I absolutely did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you planning? Were you planning the throw?
I just thought, I can do this. I just don't need to tell anyone. But I can do porn. Why not? I've seen a few.
What did the audition involve?
Well, it was more of an interview, and then like a lot of waivers to sign. And then a lot of tests to hand in, and then I got cold feet and cold balls and didn't go through it. I'm glad I didn't.
Did you show your junk? Sketchy. Did you show your fire crotch? What was going on here?
Anyway, so the real first time
is there a tape out there somewhere, JC? Sorry to interrupt.
The
is
real
there a tape?
First, no, I don't think so.
There is, isn't there?
A tape. They said it would be tasteful. They said tasteful was the key word. Well, the actual first time I've been on television for years and years, but only as a voice. But I was actually on television on Dan Wong's Beautiful Girlfriend's television show called Pretty Hard Cases as the driver. And boy, did I suck.
It could also be a porno.
That's a porno.
Well, I sucked as much in that as I did in the porn. But I got all my lines wrong. I screwed up every single take. I had guns in my face, but they still put it out. And I was still on there, and I think my lines were way better. So check it out. Season 2, episode 7, yeah. Pretty Hard Case.
We also know that JC is now our Joey Tribbiani, right? He's the photocopier yeah. guy, and then you see him, and then you don't, and then you see him, and then you don't. Because the ass keeps going up and down.
Ichiban, lipstick for men.
JC was brilliant at the Law and Order launch when he was like talking to everybody and, hey, I work with you. I was the guy who drove the van and,
that's right.
And they all remembered you.
Yeah.
JC, no one works a room better than JC, not even Steve Chang.
Yeah.
JC works the room.
It's true.
Yeah.
I can't believe you got that close to doing a porn. Like at least like that's impressive.
That close. Well.
Maybe that close.
Started off that close, then got a little bit that close.
That's amazing.
Is it Timber Titans or Pretty Hard Cases? Either way, it all works with the porn, doesn't it?
Especially Timber Titans. That's his new porn name. His new porn film is called Timber Titans.
Yeah.
This or is hardwood. Thick, tall cedar.
If you play Timber Titans in reverse, isn't that a porno? Because they were just rather than falling, they're coming up.
Yeah. Sure, Lois says right. Paul is dead.
Hmm?
What? Timber what? Titan.
I said, no, if you play Timber Titans in reverse, it says Paul is dead.
I'll give you 15 points. Oh, so I'll give you a 20 if you actually did the porno.
Can you explain
15.
That?
15.
Hey, that's half of what I would have made.
The what? Sorry, Dubs?
Remember whatever Beatles album it was?
Okay, yeah.
Helter Skelter, wasn't it?
I don't know.
But it was, yeah, I think it's Helter
Skelter. I expected you to get that one, Sherms.
I know, I know. Deep sorry. Reference.
That was a deep cut.
Again,
Craig, are you going to answer your own question?
Like what a pirate question, or varnish. A deep cut. Sorry. What was your question?
Interview. I think it was actually, I came back in the off season. I think I was still in the U team, maybe signed professional forms with Ipswich and TSN and Dave Randorf. Remember Dave Randorf? He worked for TSN. He's now play by play for Tampa Bay Lightning in the NHL down in Florida. He was about the same age as me, but
what are you laughing at?
He did an interview with me.
Sorry, laughing at Wonger on mute, coughing and just heaving his shoulders.
Look at Wonger, he's a fucking disaster.
He really is. Sorry, Craig, continue.
Sorry, Forrest.
I got nothing else to say.
No. Tell us. So,
no, Randolph. It was just an interview. I think I was 18, 19, and it was with Dave Randorf in Vancouver, sitting in Coquitlam by the lake. Como Lake, did an interview. Mm-hmm. That was my first one.
How were you?
Not like Jude Bellingham.
But you're a good interview, though, Craig. I have to say, over the years when I interviewed you, you were always very good, very thoughtful, and very easy to talk to. Surprisingly, Craig? Very easy to talk to, though. It was a conversation rather than just the stock answers. Craig was always great. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were great questions.
All right, who's up next?
Okay, I'm going to give that an eight, here. Craig. Yeah.
It wasn't that great. Just his first interview. Yeah, it was an eight. It's no backstory to it.
He answered the question exactly like he posed it.
It's true. Right. It's true.
And he brought Jude Bellingham back into it. That was a perfect segue.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Okay, be quick now, guys. We're at the hour mark. Okay. It is Wonger's question.
I love the line in the movie The Bronx Tale by Robert De Niro. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent, and the choices that you make will shape your life forever. Tell me about someone or a team that you played with that wasted talent. You don't have to name names, but put it yourself in that. Did you see someone who never reached the heights that they should have because of off-field antics or just too much going on in their brain, or a team that you were with that wasted talent? So I'm going to start with Dubs because she looks like she has an answer.
I do. And I feel like I'm throwing my sister under the bus a little bit, but my sister, Sarah, out of all of us, so older brother, I'm the oldest of the girls, and then I have three younger sisters, and Cindy and Sarah are twins. Cindy played on a national team, played at a really high level. Everybody did. But Sarah was one of these athletes, people who just were built for success in her physicality and in her ease and aptitude for any sport. So she was kind of pre the hockey era. But if she had started playing, we all played ringette. If she started playing hockey and committed to it and had the determination and the mindset to accompany it, she would have been on the Canadian women's national hockey team. If she'd had the same drive as Cindy and I, she would have played for at least a decade on the women's national soccer team. Like, she could have done anything. And I feel like I said, like, I'm criticizing her, but she just didn't have the character to accompany the physical gifts. So she could have done anything that she wanted. But that said, she's got the best laugh you've ever heard and is one of the best people that I know, and I love her to death. But she
would
just
she
had
agree
this
with you?
Raw potential. Oh, she would be the first person to say it.
Mm.
Wow. So that's great because it allows you to say it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, that was
it does. It's like,
that was more than a bus throw.
No, like, I know. It's like over a couple. Again. I did. Yeah. But she'd be fine with it because, like I said, she would be the first person to say it.
But it's true. Like, it shows that the elite athletes is more than the physical skill set. It's way more.
Absolutely, it is. And it can be frustrating to be teammates with somebody like that because you see the raw potential and you see it being unrealized. And for somebody like me, it was never the most talented, but you always knew what you were going to get in terms of effort and grit and commitment. That could be, you know, it could kind of pit you against one another sometimes if that person never really put forth the effort, at least the minimum requirement.
Was she more talented than you?
Yes.
Physically?
Yes.
So if you combine your character, your mindset with her physical attributes, you have the perfect athlete.
Yep. Oh, and she was a kick-ass swimmer as well. Like, she could have done anything she wanted.
Mm, you I like that. Swimming, sibling far. Rivalry. threw her under the bus.
That's really good.
Can you give me a score again?
No, that's a 10.
That was a great answer. That's one of the all-timers, I think, actually.
Greg, teammate or team?
You know, it might not be the right angle, but I think of a wasted talent sometimes and the unfortunate side of injuries that people can get. And
that's fair, too. Yeah.
One of my close friends at West Ham, Richard Hall, was from Ipswich originally, went to Scunthorpe Lower Division, has worked his way to Southampton, worked his way into the England youth setup, pushing for the England job, getting a position as center back, single-handedly helped West Ham stay up 1 year, and then had a really bad foot injury. And I remember just running in preseason, and he just literally thought he stood on a nail. And it was basically his arch of his foot just broke down. He never got it right. He had surgery in the United States, went out to Seattle, came back. It was no better. Worked so hard, and he was out for over a year, and never really fulfilled his potential. And I wouldn't say it's much wasted talent because he was about as hardworking as they get. But sometimes things happen, and it's unfortunate that your dream can be cut short. No fault of your own, and how difficult that can be for athletes, or for anybody for that matter, that has some sort of knockback in their life that they know would never fulfill their dreams, really. So Richard Hall really pops to mind because he was a great guy and a terrific player, and he would have been England center back for sure.
It's a good answer. I'm going to give that a 9.
I would have given you a 10, Krieger.
No, I needed it to be a little more cutting like yours, where there was a sibling being thrown under the bus.
Yeah, that was money.
If Craig's talking about his sister, Lori, yeah, then Lori did this, and yeah, that would have been perfect. Charms.
You know, I watched recently the Amy Winehouse set from Glastonbury, right? And that was towards the end, and she was close to the end, but she still had the pipes, and she was such an incredible talent. And that whole 27 club, you think about some of them, and if they were around still today, making music, how much better the world would be compared to some of the shit being put out there with auto-tune at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Be it Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, who else is there? Christ, that club. There's so many of them, right? It's
Brad
so
Noel
sad.
From Sublime.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rancid guy.
Jimi Hendrix.
As well.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. Janis Joplin. Mm-hmm. Right? These are absolute legends, right? Who died too soon. But that also helped their mystique.
Yeah, I was going to say. Would they be legends? Would they still be legends if we saw them turn into Elton John in the 80s? Where they went from... You need to reinvent yourself.
And a lot put of out great people, music.
Elton I'm John still standing is not good music.
Sure. Excuse me? That's a I listen to that every song. Morning when I wake up.
Yeah. No, it's
Jeannie not. Becker. Jeannie Becker.
Listen. Jeannie Becker, yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah, it was.
A great song. Are you David one of those Bowie, people who hates
David Bowie, all of you?
Bowie was in Tin Machine, for Christ's sakes. Do we judge David Bowie for a questionable era of his music? No, he's still David Bowie. Right,
that's because he came back. He kept reinventing himself. That's what gave.
So did Elton John, though. Have you seen The Lion King?
can you feel the love tonight?
Yeah. he was married. He was married to a woman. He reinvented himself for sure.
Married a Canadian dude.
Yes.
Well, that was after.
Well, good for him. That's the best. That's the best David movie Furnish, made.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. You leave Elton alone, Wonger.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Elton, you and your...
But my answer is Freddie Adu.
Freddie Adu.
Freddie Adu. There you go.
Ooh. Well, now he's Freddie Adu.
Much ado about nothing.
I don't blame him, though, Adu, in fairness, not to go too long here, but I mean, he was just pumped up by the U.S. football machine, by Nike, way, way, way too early, at 14 years of age. Never played in MLS at 14. And who knows what he could have become. In the end, had a career... Plays in big clubs, but yeah, he was just set up to fail, I think.
He spoke really well at 14, although he's probably 20.
Yeah, there is that, isn't there?
So all the cultural reference, you go back to, we do a whole music segment. He goes to Freddie Adu. I'm giving that a 6.
You go back to Freddie Mercury? He's mid-40s. He's around still.
Wasted talent.
Well, when I was a young kid, and I can remember my very first like athlete that I was in awe of was Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson naturally was an incredibly, incredibly talented fast. He was the fastest man on earth, but he was so influenced and pushed into taking performance enhancing drugs. And there was so much money, and it was the Canadian, his team just pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him into doing this to continue to be this guy and to take these drugs. And what could he have been? Because he was so naturally talented. And if he had kept on, if he could have continued to compete well into, you know, his 30s, probably. But because of, you know, his influence from the coaches and society or whatever, I don't know. He just, it was the drugs. And I mean, it would have been amazing to see what he could have done instead of been this horrible, horrible disgrace for Canada, which is very sad. But I remember, like, I was so in awe of this guy who was, like, superhuman to me. And then it came out. And
he gets a bit of a bad rap because everybody in that race eventually was caught doping, whether it was Carl Lewis, whether it was Frankie Fredericks. They were all caught eventually doping.
Yeah. I don't think it was Frankie Fredericks. It's Linford Christie. Frankie Fredericks in Namibia from the 90s, not the 80s.
Wasn't Frankie Fredericks in that race?
I know, but he wasn't in that race.
Was he?
He wasn't.
No. Calvin Smith, Desai Williams, Carl Lewis, Ben Johnson, but not in that.
You look at Ben.
Frankie Fredericks was in the 96 race against Donovan Bailey.
Look at Ben in like 86 before Charlie Francis got his hands on him and compare him to 88 and just the way the body changed. It was unbelievable. I mean, he was just jacked by 88. I interviewed Ben a number of times and I really liked him. Really good guy. Who got used by some people. Yeah. And
to give it the soccer spin. The soccer spin, though.
Saudi Arabia.
Germs.
Iran. Gaddafi.
No,
he's Gaddafi.
That, and he went and trained with, what's his name? From Argentina.
Gaddafi's son, didn't he?
Oh, Maradona.
He went and tried to get Maradona in shape again and teach him how to get fast again.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
No, he did that, and he worked with Gaddafi, Omar Gaddafi's son.
Right.
Getting him fit. But yeah, there's a new book coming out. I think it's written by Rosie DiMano, I believe, in which case it'll be amazing. Because it's been, I think the book came out about 10 years ago now. I interviewed him, which is written by his spiritual advisor. It's really weird. Really weird. Mm-hmm. But a fascinating story is Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you brought it up. I like, you don't know him personally though. So I still think I'm judging all this from Dubs' answer because that was way better. As far as personal effrontery,
I don't know Ben Johnson. I've met Ben Johnson.
Met him.
I've been very close to a lot of Johnsons. Some of which.
And giving you an eight.
Ben.
Giving you
going
an eight.
Back to the audition many years ago.
Giving you an eight.
Fine. Fine.
Fine.
Mine is real quick.
Minus five.
I was a hand model, and I couldn't keep my hands away from myself until it cramped. So I went to the top of the hand modeling world, and then I found it.
We've seen your hands. There's no way you're a hand model. No, that finger.
The pinky didn't even fit into the oven mitt.
I didn't have master of my domain. So that was my wasted talent. There you go. Minus I'm five. Giving myself a 6 for that.
Neil.
No way. You do not get a 6.
3 for that. Thank you. Easily.
3.
Let's get moving. We're like an hour and 10 minutes.
I know.
Do this every time.
Is it the last question or someone else got to answer this one?
There's one more.
No, that's the last. No, that's it.
No, there's JC's. Yeah. Didn't we? We did it already?
Just did it.
No, that was Walker's.
I
thought you meant the round. The round is done.
Sorry.
Oh, yes. But Jason's question, yes.
This is a bit of a fun one, and it's not necessary. Okay, so in lieu of soccer, last week on SNL, they aired the Beavis and Butthead sketch, which I hope everyone here has seen.
So good.
You haven't seen it? Well, guess what? We're about to. This is a little bit of it.
I'm not familiar with that cartoon.
Gentleman in the blue shirt and blind pompadour. Well, it becomes so intelligent that it deems humans unnecessary that is... and kills us all.
Hang on.
But if human beings created the AI,
it watch your reaction.
Now there's a gentleman behind you that looks like Butthead.
Here it comes.
That's
amazing. So the question is, what has there been a time that you can remember where you couldn't contain your laughter in a very inappropriate situation when you needed to hold it together but you just couldn't stop laughing? Dubs.
My entire family at any funeral that we attend.
Yeah.
We are horrible. And it started very young. I think it was my great uncle. And there was this diminutive priest, this frail man who read a passage from the Bible and then was going to sing the psalm. And he thought he was throwing it to somebody else. Instead, this man just like unleashed this incredible voice. And all of us, we were sitting in the front pew because the Walshes were late, as usual. It was the only seat that was left. And all of us had our heads down and the pew was shaking and all of our shoulders were because we knew it was inappropriate. And I was probably 12. My sisters were all younger. My brother was 16 and my mom was just shooting daggers at us. But we've been the same ever since.
That's love great. That. 10, 11, 11, we'll go 11. That's awesome. Good. Craiger.
We finished fifth in the Premier League with West Ham. And remember preseason, we were standing at Hainault, I think, Park. Anyway, we're about to start going on a 10K run or something. And Harry Redknapp was had everybody in a circle and he was talking about the season before and saying that I really believe that we could win the league. And when he said that, our good friend Neil Ruddick, Razor Ruddick, gave it the old
oh no.
Razor.
And Harry looks at him and he's like, that's your problem, Razor. You got no belief. What he's he goes, no, we're 50 million pounds short. Are you fucking kidding? We got no chance.
That's good.
Have you seen Razor? By the way, Razor, he's lost about 30 or 40 pounds.
Holy shit. He looks great.
Yeah, he's on British TV right now doing ads for something, and he looks amazing.
Ozempic.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Exactly. I bet you. There might be something there, allegedly.
Right, allegedly.
12 for Chris.
Charms. Nobody looks good, though. Good for a reason.
A few times in this show we've done it, right? It's a few times. But on Room 442, Albert Vatanian has been on Pretty Prime, of course, before. He has got the most infectious laugh ever. He really does. It's one of those, it's a bit like Dubs is the one she's like really laughing. And it's a one, right?
that one. Chest.
And me, Albert, and Sarah were doing, when I first went to Homestand or Room 442, we're doing a segment. And it's just no joke. It took us an hour to do 3 minutes because we could not contain ourselves over the most stupid thing. And I'd look over at Albert's face and have this stupid grin. And I know that he's just fighting it. And then the shoulders would start going and I'd see it start rocking. And then he just burst out. And it's the most ridiculous, juvenile, stupid thing ever. But an hour to do 3 minutes, it was brilliant. We got on tape somewhere, actually. We put it on social media. I love infectious laughs, and he's got one. And when I hear an infectious laugh, I can't contain myself. That's why it's infectious, I guess, right? Anyway, that's it. Not a great answer. Not as good as you guys, but I think it's definitely worth a good solid 5 points.
I give it that. I'm giving that a 10 because I love laughing is the most fun thing in the world. And it sounds like the best hour ever. So that's brilliant. 10.
Yeah.
Daniel Joseph Wong.
Mine is church oriented too. So we used to, I was brought up very, very Catholic. And so Easter is the most intense time for Catholics. People don't always know that. They think it might be Christmas, but Catholics go first, you go to Thursday night, Holy Thursday, then you fast, go to Good Friday. And then if your mom is the singer, you also go to Easter Vigil on Friday night. And then on Sunday, the Jesus comes out of his cocoon and turns into a butterfly. So
he turns into a chrysalis.
Yeah, that's right. A chrysalis. Thank you. Oh, well, that was
done.
Great.
Well done. That's wit right there.
So you're like, my brothers are, I think we're like 9, 11, and 13. And it's Easter Vigil on Friday night. And you're just dying. You're 2 hours into this, waiting to kiss the feet of Christ statue and get your feet washed by the priest, all the old school stuff. And I start farting because I'm crawling along on the floor. I'm just exhausted. So I start farting on those old pews and it's like amplified by 8. So I let one out and my mom just looks at me because it's just like whop. And like amplified. But then I turned into one of those machine gun farts where it's just like the whole church just looks over. And my mom is the singer at church, just sitting there going, she's so angry with me. I caught a beating. And so because of that beating, I fucking remember this all my life. And my brothers were howling because I was repetitively farting. But it was the machine gun that went probably about 18 seconds of machine gun farts. That's right.
Why did that not surprise me?
The fact that we're laughing like this, that's a very good answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say peace be with you after you farted?
That's right. Peace be with me. You. I don't want to shake your 9-year-old's hand. I probably had shitty underwear.
All right, JC. JC's going to answer his own question.
Mine's not that great, and because I didn't even think of one until just now. But it was a couple weeks ago, and I know my wife can hear me in the other room, and I feel bad about it. But
hi, Mel.
Hey, Mel.
She's all right about the porno, though.
Yes.
She's fine with that.
Oh, that's fine. She knows. She reaps the rewards of that. So we went and visited Mel's nanny, and she had a video sent to her from Mel's sister of Mel's niece, who was performing at her school. She's, I won't say her name. She's the best, though. Love her to bits. And she was performing at her school talent show, a song that she wrote on the guitar. And it was one chord just over and over. And then words that didn't rhyme or make any sense. And we couldn't help. We're both like dying laughing at a 9-year-old. But the nanny's like, oh, it's just so wonderful. Look at how good she is. And we're like, she's so bad. But she's so great. She's the best. She's going to be a superstar one day because she can get up and do that. But we were laughing pretty hard at that. So that's
just stay off the heroin.
Yes, please. No, no, no. Anyway, that's not great. I'll give myself a 7 for that.
All right, listen, let's tabulate. We haven't got time for footy picks. I think it's fair to say. We don't need to do footy picks.
We still have this. It's footy picks. It's
footy picks. It's footy picks. We can still pick. We're an hour and 20 minutes in. And as I mentioned before, I've got so much shit going on, I have to leave. Unless you guys can continue with footy picks if you like.
No, but I need to tell you though, the winner of this week's Flaccid Four, Amy Walsh.
Oh. Yay!
Well done. She had such a good answer that I gave her +5 after that 4 on the first one, but throwing her sister under the bus really it nailed it. Congratulations.
That is awesome.
Paid off.
Can I mention, sorry, footy picks, and I just said we can't do it, but if you do a Canadian parlay this weekend, which I think is possible, TFC winning, they're playing New England, right? New England's even worse than TFC right now. Dead last.
Are they going to throw the box out?
It's in Toronto. It's in Toronto. So TFC, New England. If Montreal win as well and Vancouver, $5 pays $110 at your local generic betting app.
I like that. That's a good footy pick.
And is that why parlay sometimes is spelled instead of P-A-R-L-A-Y, it's spelled P-A-R-L-E-H because it's a Canadian parlay?
That's why the parlay was called parlay. Hey. Yes. But that's why the parlay previously of Homestand Sports was parlay. Parlay? Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Good show, everyone. An hour and 22 minutes. Well done. We are back on Monday, of course. But you got a ton of content to consume this weekend. All our MLS podcasts, of course. And check out wearefootyprime.com and our YouTube channel, please. Like it, subscribe, comment on it as well. We'll get some comments next week. And until then, cheers for listening.
And while you're farting, remember, everyone, framfubotv.com/footyprime to subscribe.
Peace be with you.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Funny, that's the sound you hear after a pegging.
Oh, it's more of just like an ass sigh, isn't it? It's like
or a cork.
Or a pink sock.
Pink sock.
That's not a sock. So.
A prolapsed anus or rectum. Oh, I know that courtesy of my brother.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.